you were to take in the latest Reason magazine, it does deal with healthcare issues throughout it. And if you were to turn to the From the Top section, which is written by the editor-in-chief, Matt Welch, he has a piece which is headlined, Why I Prefer French Healthcare. Matt Welch joins us now. Mr. Welch, why is it?
Because I've experienced it as a consumer, unlike many people who comment about healthcare in this country, talking about, you know, we're going to socialize our healthcare, it's going to be terrible. My wife is French, so I go to France every year, and I use their healthcare system. And my point is that on a consumer level, on the level of I'm going in and trying to get you know, my back looked at, the French system is much more rewarding to me personally than is the American system. I think that people on the free market side of the aisle, and the motto of our magazine is Free Minds and Free Markets, who have opposed generally a lot of democratic healthcare proposals, I think that over the years they have made a strategic error when they have said things like, oh, we have the best healthcare system in the world, why would you jeopardize this? And, you know, we're on the march to socialism if we try to do anything. What they have missed in that opportunity is to understand how much healthcare insecurity in America is a fundamental problem. It is a problem that is glaring and needs to be fixed. In America, I wasn't able to get health insurance for more than 3 years. I'm a healthy kind of guy, or at least I was when I was younger. And this is such a pressing problem. And because people on the free market side of the aisle haven't identified it as such, I think they've missed an opportunity to push for market reforms that and been part of that conversation over the years instead of now playing defense and, you know, arguing that, oh, my God, we're going to cut Medicare. I never thought that John McCain would be in a position of fighting against Medicare cuts since he spent his life doing the opposite. So part of what I'm trying to do is say, hey, look, we might have missed an opportunity here. And also, I think the best form of opinion journalism in general is to be, don't take the worst arguments from your opponents, take the best. And so when people try to complain about socialized healthcare, they always go to England, the NHS. Well, why don't you go to France? Because it actually works pretty well in France. And if you're against that, engage in that.
So as far as your back is concerned, you cited some experiences. What would be the ease of getting a doctor? If you had to go further than that, getting some type of surgery,
right,
what would be the ease of that compared to the American system?
You know, in France, you choose your own doctor. You always do. It's easier to get an appointment. It doesn't take so long. There isn't all this sort of third-party, fourth-party kind of complicated systems. You choose your doctor. You go there. You pay on the spot, and it's cheap. I mean, the most I've had minor oral surgery, and it cost me, I think, like 300 euros or something like that, and they were very apologetic, like, sorry, it's very expensive. So it's on the spot, it's cheap, and also they do a lot of healthcare through kind of intermediaries. They decentralize it through pharmacies, for example. You know, you can go to your local pharmacist, and they will actually engage you in a bunch of opinions, and maybe you should try this and try this on a level that you can't quite imagine at a CVS in Washington, D.C., or elsewhere in the country. In America, there's a lot of licensing systems and lawsuits and malpractices that keep people on their toes. In France, they kind of don't have that. So there is a direct sort of consumer experience. But that said, I mean, the reason why you only pay 300 euros is because you're paying through the nose in taxes and a bunch of other things, which has a lot of negative effects in France. And it's one of the reasons why, in fact, my wife doesn't live there. You know?
How much of the tax structure is going into healthcare issues?
A significant amount, to the point where they've been trying for the last, you know, 10, 15 years to find ways to limit costs or cut costs. And every time they do, they've created a huge political incentive of French people who, you know, in fairness, love to strike, you know, if the sun comes up in the morning. But anytime there's a threatened cut, there's huge political problems. So it is part of it. Their tax structure is much more onerous than ours. And there's a mentality in France which is very undynamic, where people look to the government to solve any numbers of problems. I mean, the healthcare system works better than most any other part of the French state. Unfortunately, they extend the French state to all kinds of places where it doesn't belong, and it creates kind of a rigidity of society there.
Our guest is with us to talk about the French healthcare system, his experiences with it, and take your calls on it. 202-737-0001 for Republicans, 202-737-0002 for Democrats, 202-628-0205 for Independents. Journal at cspan.org is the email, and you can Twitter us at C-SPAN WJ. What about more serious cases, cancer and long-term illness, those kind of things? How are they handled?
What France does better is that, you know, it's not going to bankrupt you. I mean, the fundamental advantage of the French system, from my point of view, is that there is no insecurity. You wake up, you're born, you have health care. In America, at any given time, you know, scores of millions of people don't have health care. And so we underestimate how much of a important and big deal that is. So it doesn't bankrupt you, and you move on. In America, the quality of the highest end of care is better. So, you know, it's when I'm 30 years old and I don't have many medical issues and all I really want is sort of catastrophic insurance, I'd rather be in France. Talk to me when I'm 65 or 72 and I need an angioplasty or whatnot. I will probably prefer to be in America for the procedure, the quality of the high level of the procedure, better in America, not a huge amount better, but definitely better. Better new technologies, new procedures. In France, it won't bankrupt you. Another difference, which would make sense if you think about it, is that in America, because we have at least a quasi-free market, it's not at all a free market, but there's some element of competition there, it's more individual-based from a consumer point of view. You ask your doctor for an opinion, you get a second opinion. In France, they say, your back's like this, this is what we're going to do, goodbye. I mean, it's very much, we're telling you how things are.
You talked about your wife during a visit. One of the doctors had detected some lumps in her breast?
She had a test here in America, and they said, no problem, don't worry about it. And she went back to France to one of the best doctors in France for these things and said, oh, it's something that we should remove. So a lot of care in America, you just kind of go to whatever doctor you can find. He's maybe in network and these kind of things, and they don't necessarily specialize in what you need, and it's complicated. And I think that was the case there. In France, you go to the person who specializes in it right away, and they might deliver a better first kind of diagnosis.
Our guest with us until 8 o'clock. Our first call is from Niantic, Connecticut. Dale, on our Democrats line, you're on with Matt Welch. Go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to make a comment. I'm a retiree from the federal government, and I have the same health program that the senators and congressmen are, and I wanted to let you know that this year I'm not allowed to have anything but the high deductible health insurance in Connecticut or the consumer-driven. I can't get an HMO. I don't have a choice, so it's not true. Plus, I'm only allowed to have the procedures listed in the manual. And I think that's very poor, and it's a lie. And if that's what they're going to be signing up the rest of America for, it's wrong. In addition, I don't think the states should have the power to say what insurance federal employees can select. So I know this is not about France, but I'm just telling you that it's getting worse and worse in America, and it's all about the dollars. It's not about health care at all. Thank you very much.
I appreciate those comments. I mean, I think a big difference in America is that we have a natural kind of American allergy to bureaucrats getting involved in intimate decisions in a way that France does not. You see this with the health care bill right now. It's being held up periodically over questions of abortion. We think, you know, should federal dollars go to supporting abortion? That wouldn't be an issue in France. They just kind of don't think that way. And so when you have these sort of state-by-state or on a federal level bureaucrats deciding things, we have a natural reaction against it, and I think it's a proper one.
Brooklyn is up next. Philip on our Republican line.
Good morning. A few years ago, there was a heat wave in France, very dramatic, in August, I believe. And some, as reported, some 10,000 elderly people died. Mainly, they talked about the problems with air conditioning in France, but they also said something to the effect that there was doctors were handicapped by law seeing patients. Can you shed some light on that for me, please? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. I don't know about the doctors being handicapped seeing the patients. What I remember from that, and it's terrible, it happens every time that there's a big heat wave, as does it happens in America in places like Chicago, too. But in France, it's kind of worse. I saw less of an explanation about doctors being handicapped and more an explanation of people just naturally depended or supposed that the government would take care of their grandparents. It was kind of a part of the mentality of the state takes care of everything, so we don't need to call grandma and make sure that she's doing okay. That plus, of course, air conditioning and central heating and all these kind of things, which in France are not quite as developed as they are here. But I'd be interested to hear more about the specific sort of doctor's handicap complaint.
What about emergency room care? How is that handled in France?
I go to the emergency room. As far as I know, I haven't personally experienced it, but I think it's probably similar. It would stand to reason. And they just, and again, the French are really good at state sector productivity. They're famous for it. Unlike the Brits, they're traditionally kind of bad at state sector productivity. So I would hesitate before, you know, leaping. I mean, the title of my piece was Why I Prefer French Healthcare. You know, in parentheses was as a consumer, not necessarily as a style that we should ape. I don't think that it would work in America. I don't think that we'd be very good at it. So they're good at that little part of it, but there are plenty of nightmare scenarios of socialized healthcare schemes where emergency rooms are nightmarish and where, you know, there's waiting lines and all kinds of shortages.
Jim Guay off of Twitter asked, does the French healthcare system pay for doctors, hospitals, pharmacies for the full cost of medical services?
Not for the full cost, but for a whole bunch of it. I'm trying to think of how the most money I ever paid at a pharmacy, I think it was like $20. So certainly there's just a built-in subsidy there. But you do pay on the spot, which is at least gives you the illusion that you are having a kind of a direct accounting for it. There's not this thing in America where, you know, you go there, you pay a copay, you wait for your insurance, then you get billed, and then you wait for insurance again. I mean, I'm still, I think, solving some kind of COBRA nightmare bills from 2006 now, and I have no idea who's paying what and what's covered. In France, you just sort of pay on the spot, and usually that's it. Sometimes there's some reimbursement, too. So it's not free. You do pay out of pocket, but it's a limited amount that you pay out of pocket, and that's because of these sort of massive subsidies.
And the prices are determined by each of the parties involved?
That I don't know.
As far as your experiences with doctors, are there enough doctors to meet the needs of those in France?
So far, it seems so. I mean, I'm always shocked by the fact that there can be such high-quality doctors because there's an artificial cap on their salaries. They don't make a ton of money. If you watch Michael Moore's Sicko, which French people hated, by the way, because it portrayed France as this sort of unmitigated paradise and everything's perfect and the doctors make a nice living and everyone's really happy. Well, that's too much of a gloss over what actually happens there. But French doctors don't generally get compensated on a super high level, and yet they seem happy when I interact with them. Part of the reason is that they are able to, they don't really have malpractice there because there isn't a big civil lawsuit kind of system as we have here in America. And I would not advocate that for us because that would circumvent all kinds of laws in a system that has a built-up, some advantages. And
so they don't have to pay a lot for insurance for protection,
right,
against that.
Yeah, this is a big reason why they're able to keep costs down as much as they are. And that cost is reflected in the cost of care. It's reflected in the salaries of doctors and these kinds of things. But again, we can't exactly, you know, have that system here.
Schenectady, New York, with Matt Welch on our Democrats line. John, good morning.
Hi, good morning. As you mentioned, I live in Schenectady, and I work I work as a teacher, and my health care costs many thousands of dollars to both myself and the district that I work for. And you mentioned that, you know, you in France you pay through the nose for taxes for the coverage that you get. And we would switch that off where somehow that were to change different system. But how is it that you're married to a French woman. How is it that you managed to get that coverage, and what does she pay, and by what mechanism?
Most of her salary comes from France. She does a lot of she's a journalist, and she works for European publications. And so that money is taxed on the front end to a pretty high degree, to, you know, French taxes. So this is about the only way in which we benefit from paying French taxes every year, is that we get some medical care when we go home for Christmas. She pays for all kinds of, you know, state benefits and solidarity, as they say there, that, you know, by definition, there's no way that we can enjoy. So she's, even as a freelance, there is a large sort of tax deduction that comes from out of the money that you make on the front end, and then also you're taxed again, you know, sort of on an annual kind of income tax basis.
You probably said this, but so no matter what income you make or don't make in France, you are covered by health care.
Yes. Yes.
Regardless of if you're in poverty or anything else.
Yes, and you can get some supplemental insurance or supplemental health care as well. It's a little bit more difficult, but you are covered when you were born.
Atlanta, Chris on our Republican line.
This guy sounds like the worst kind of socialist to me. He's a socialist in America that's too afraid to go live in a socialist country.
Thank you. Thank you. I've actually lived in a socialist country for 4 weeks. I tried to go live in Cuba, and it didn't really work out because it's actually not socialist. It's communist, and it's a little bit difficult. I lived in Central Europe for 8 years, and I saw, unlike a lot of people who throw around such accusations, I've actually seen the wreckage that communism can cause, and it had a profound influence on the way I'm thinking. Again, I'm not saying that we should do the French healthcare system. What I'm saying is that if you're going to oppose Obamacare, which in fact I do oppose because I think there's a lot of fundamental problems with it. I think that if you don't break the link between employment and insurance in this country, when you have all these onerous state-by-state regulations that we have in this country, you artificially choke off what should be a free or freer market in healthcare, and therefore you don't have the provision of choice and a competitive pressure on prices. So what I'm saying is not that we should become like Cuba and go move to Cuba or France or anywhere else. I'm saying is recognize what works and doesn't work both in this country and in other countries.
What do the French doctors and the medical system think about our health care?
Every year they shake their head and say, how can you live in such a savage system? And then occasionally they'll say, oh, but you know, there's this new great drug that you have come up with that I'd really like to hear more about.
You say in the last paragraph of your piece, looking at the healthcare solutions discussed, that's going to be discussed in this issue of Reason, ask yourself an honest question. Are we better off today in terms of health policy than we would have been had we acknowledged more loudly 15 years ago that the status quo was quite awful for a large number of Americans? Would we have better off focused less on waiting times in Britain or more on waiting times in the USA? And then you add, it's a question I plan to ask my doctor this Christmas. Can you expand on that?
It's a funny thing, you know, when I see a French friends here, you know, they say, like, you know, Americans are complaining that if we pass Obamacare that you won't be able to choose your own doctor and that there will be all these waiting times and everything. And the fact is that's how it already is in America. When I go back to France every year, I always sort of engage with doctors to talk about the comparative things. And again, I mean, the comparison isn't all, you know, apple pie and ice cream here and nails and rocks here. There are many parts about it that don't work well in France and ways in which doctors wish that it was better. They do like the sort of competitive nature of America and where that leads you in new medicines and new treatments and these kinds of things. But they don't understand a system in which at any given time 30, 40 million people are uninsured.
Atlanta is next. I'm sorry, Brighton, Michigan is next. Stan on our independent line.
Yes, how you doing? This is more of an observation than a question, I guess. They say there's 40 million people that we're trying to insure, and it's going to cost trillions of dollars. I guess my question would be, why don't they just buy these people the best insurance policy, even if it cost $1 million a person? That would only be 40 million.
I think that there's something profound in your question, frankly. You know, if you think about it, that is both the best and the realist reason for these series of reforms is that there's this healthcare insecurity and Americans don't have healthcare. The thing is, there is a sizable portion of those people who choose not to have it, whether it's because they are illegal immigrants and they just don't want to interact with the system because they're afraid they'll get kicked out, or whether they're healthy young people who kind of just aren't thinking about insurance right now. Our concern is those people, there is something to a voucher system. Okay, we will buy your insurance. Here is, you know, here's $250 a month. I don't know what the number would be. Go out and purchase a plan and then get back to us. But the thing is, whenever you have a huge, you know, government bureaucracy regulation kind of thing, what is going to happen when you try to reform it is that you're just going to take the existing system, the existing players, and extend it. That's the biggest argument in my mind against Obamacare right now, is that it kind of doubles down on the system that we have. Medicare for people who are 55. Why not? You know, let's expand SCHIP. Let's take what we already have and make it even bigger and more ungainly. Let's take these regulations that we already have on insurers and make more of them instead of making a fresh break and coming up with real reform. And I think part of a real reform might be for those people who have long-term problems or whatever, here's a voucher, you know, and let's have you direct that in a way that would unleash market competition.
The latest Reason magazine is the January 2010 issue. Walk us through the other healthcare-related items in this magazine.
We have a big Q&A with John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, who got into a lot of hot water, interestingly, this summer when he wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal outlining his, I think, 8-point plan for healthcare, which included some of the things that I'm talking about, making it a more of an individual thing, not an employer-based thing. And that's not for the full cost, but for a whole bunch of it. You know, I'm trying to think of how the most money I ever paid at a pharmacy, I think it was like $20. So certainly there's just a built-in subsidy there. But you do pay on the spot, which is at least gives you the illusion that you are having a kind of a direct you know, accounting for it. There's not this thing in America where, you know, you go there, you pay a copay, you wait for your insurance, and then you get billed, and then you wait for insurance again. I mean, I'm still, I think, solving some kind of COBRA nightmare bills from 2006 now, and I have no idea who's paying what and what's covered. In France, you just sort of pay on the spot, and usually that's it. Sometimes there's some reimbursement, too. So it's not free. You do pay out of pocket, but it's a limited amount that you pay out of pocket, and that's because of these sort of massive subsidies.
And the prices are determined by each of the parties involved?
That I don't know.
As far as your experiences with doctors, are there enough doctors to meet the needs of those in France?
So far, it seems so. I mean, I'm always shocked by the fact that there can be such high-quality doctors because there's an artificial cap on their salaries. They don't make a ton of money. You know, if you watch Michael Moore's Sicko, which French people hated, by the way, because it portrayed France as this sort of unmitigated paradise and everything's perfect and the doctors make a nice living and everyone's really happy. Well, that's too much of a gloss over what actually happens there. But French doctors don't generally get compensated on a super high level, and yet they seem happy when I interact with them. Part of the reason is that they are able to, they don't really have malpractice there because there isn't a big civil lawsuit kind of system as we have here in America. And I would not advocate that for us because that would circumvent all kinds of laws in a system that has a built-up, you know, some advantages. And
so they don't have to pay a lot for insurance for protection,
right,
against that.
Yeah, this is a big reason why they're able to keep costs down as much as they are. And that cost is reflected in the cost of care. It's reflected in the salaries of doctors and these kinds of things. But again, we can't exactly, you know, have that system here.
Schenectady, New York, with Matt Welch on our Democrats line. John, good morning.
Hi, good morning. As you mentioned, I live in Schenectady, and I work I work as a teacher, and my health care costs many thousands of dollars for both myself and the district that I work for. And you mentioned that, you know, you in France you pay through the nose for taxes for the coverage that you get. And we would switch that off where somehow that were to change different system. But how is it that well, you're married to a French woman. How is it that you managed to get that coverage, and what does she pay, and by what mechanism?
Most of her salary comes from France. She does a lot of she's a journalist, and she works for European publications. And so that money is taxed on the front end to a pretty high degree, to, you know, French taxes. So this is about the only way in which we benefit from paying French taxes every year, is that we get some medical care when we go home for Christmas. She pays for all kinds of, you know, state benefits and solidarity, as they say there, that, you know, by definition, there's no way that we can enjoy. So she's, even as a freelance, there is a large sort of tax deduction that comes from out of the money that you make on the front end, and then also you're taxed again, you know, sort of on an annual kind of income tax basis.
You probably said this, but so no matter what income you make or don't make in France, you are covered by health care.
Yes.
Yes. Regardless of if you're in poverty or anything else.
Yes, and you can get some supplemental insurance or supplemental health care as well. It's a little bit more difficult, but you are covered when you were born.
Atlanta, Chris on our Republican line.
This guy sounds like the worst kind of socialist to me. He's a socialist in America that's too afraid to go live in a socialist country.
Thank you. Thank you. I've actually lived in a socialist country for, or I tried to, for 4 weeks. I tried to go live in Cuba, and it didn't really work out because it's actually not socialist. It's communist, and it's a little bit difficult. I lived in Central Europe for 8 years, and I saw, unlike a lot of people who throw around such accusations, I've actually seen the wreckage that communism can cause, and it had a profound influence on the way I'm thinking. Again, I'm not saying that we should do the French healthcare system. What I'm saying is that if you're going to oppose Obamacare, which in fact I do oppose because I think there's a lot of fundamental problems with it. I think that if you don't break the link between employment and insurance in this country, when you have all these onerous state-by-state regulations that we have in this country, you artificially choke off what should be a free or freer market in healthcare, and therefore you don't have the provision of choice and a competitive pressure on prices. So what I'm saying is not that we should become like Cuba and go move to Cuba or France or anywhere else. I'm saying is recognize what works and doesn't work both in this country and in other countries.
What do the French doctors and the medical system think about our health care?
Every year they shake their head and say, how can you live in such a savage system? And then occasionally they'll say, oh, but, you know, there's this new great drug that you have come up with that I'd really like to hear more about.
You say in the last paragraph of your piece, looking at the healthcare solutions discussed, that's going to be discussed in this issue of Reason, ask yourself an honest question. Are we better off today in terms of health policy than we would have been had we acknowledged more loudly 15 years ago that the status quo was quite awful for a large number of Americans? Would we have better off focused less on waiting times in Britain or more on waiting times in the USA? And then you add, it's a question I plan to ask my doctor this Christmas. Can you expand on that?
It's a funny thing, you know, when I see French friends here, you know, they say, like, you know, Americans are complaining that if we pass Obamacare that you won't be able to choose your own doctor and that there will be all these waiting times and everything. And the fact is that's how it already is in America. You know, when I go back to France every year, I always sort of engage with doctors to talk about the comparative things. And again, I mean, the comparison isn't all, you know, apple pie and ice cream here and nails and rocks here. There are many parts about it that don't work well in France and ways in which doctors wish that it was better. They do like the sort of competitive nature of America and where that leads you in new medicines and new treatments and these kinds of things. But they don't understand a system in which at any given time 30, 40 million people are uninsured.
Atlanta is next. I'm sorry, Brighton, Michigan is next. Stan on our independent line.
Yes, how you doing? This is more of an observation than a question, I guess. They say there's 40 million people that we're trying to insure, and it's going to cost trillions of dollars. I guess my question would be, why don't they just buy these people the best insurance policy, even if it cost $1 million a person? That would only be 40 million.
I think that there's something profound in your question, frankly. You know, if you think about it, that is both the best and the realist reason for these series of reforms. Is that there's this healthcare insecurity and Americans don't have healthcare. The thing is, there is a sizable portion of those people who choose not to have it, whether it's because they are illegal immigrants and they just don't want to interact with the system because they're afraid they'll get kicked out, or whether they're healthy young people who kind of just aren't thinking about insurance right now. Our concern is those people, there is something to a voucher system. Okay, we will buy your insurance. Here's $250 a month. I don't know what the number would be. Go out and purchase a plan and then get back to us. But the thing is, whenever you have a huge, you know, government bureaucracy regulation kind of thing, what is going to happen when you try to reform it is that you're just going to take the existing system, the existing players, and extend it. That's the biggest argument in my mind against Obamacare right now, is that it kind of doubles down on the system that we have. Medicare for people who are 55. Why not? You know, let's expand S-CHIP. Let's take what we already have and make it even bigger and more ungainly. Let's take these regulations that we already have on insurers and make more of them instead of making a fresh break and coming up with real reform. And I think part of a real reform might be for those people who have long-term problems or whatever, here's a voucher. You know, and let's have you direct that in a way that would unleash market competition.
The latest Reason magazine is the January 2010 issue. Walk us through the other healthcare-related items in this magazine.
We have a big Q&A with John Mackey, the CEO of Whole Foods, who got into a lot of hot water, interestingly, this summer when he wrote an op-ed for the Wall Street Journal outlining his, I think, 8-point plan for healthcare, which included some of the things that I'm talking about. Of making it more of an individual thing, not an employer-based thing, and that led to people boycotting him, which was a really kind of almost astonishing development. We have a great piece by Peter Suderman talking about the Congressional Budget Office and how that became God in this debate. And it's very interesting to watch. It's sort of a good primer as you watch politicians try to game the CBO, knowing what they can and can't say in their critiques and scoring of each individual bill. We have a column by our science correspondent, Ron Bailey, who talks about how in his ideal world we would be talking about markets and not mandates on healthcare. How can we create markets, enable them more so that we can unleash the good things about those to help solve some of these problems that I'm pointing to in my column?
The print version has the cover. You can also find it online, reason.com, the website, and it's connected to our C-SPAN website if you want to check it out for yourself. Here's, as you look at it, we'll take our next call, New York City, Rachel on our Democrats line.
Hi, good morning. Actually, I just wanted to comment on the previous guy and thought that his ideas about the $40 million was very interesting. But I just also wanted to say that I had an opportunity to live in France for a couple of years. I was a teacher in Normandy, or in Lisieux, and I had an opportunity to experience the French healthcare system as well as their dentistry. And I will also say that, yes, it was very inexpensive. I had a major procedure done on my teeth due to some gingivitis issues here in the U.S. prior to moving to France. And there was another procedure that needed to be done, but it was going to cost thousands of dollars. And when I moved to France that fall, it actually came out to cost me about $70 to finalize the procedure, or 70 euros. And then the other interesting aspect of the French healthcare system that I find is that there are alternative medicine or Eastern medicine that is recognized by the French healthcare system that is covered by their system that is not truly covered by, if you look in America, acupuncture or homeopathy is something that is independent and it's not completely covered by healthcare, the healthcare system or the insurances here. And I just really took the opportunity and benefited from whatever I could and made appointments with all the doctors that I could. And I felt as though that I had choices and so on. Not that I don't have any admiration or respect for the American healthcare system, but a person who is between the ages of 20, at the time I was in France, I was 22, 23, and I'm looking back now at the age of 30, there are a lot of things that a young person, if you're not paid well, and especially when I was only being paid nearly about 1,200 euros a month, my rent was 50 euros a month for a two-bedroom apartment. I paid maybe 200 euros a month for, I'd say 175 euros a month to lease my car. So if you think about all the bills and what I'm being paid for my salary, although I wasn't being paid a lot like in America, I still didn't have to, I wasn't stressed out or overly concerned about my lifestyle because I was still able to travel, go go on vacations and live a decent life on the amount of money I was being paid.
Okay, we'll have to leave it there, but thank you for your input, Mr. Welch.
Yeah, thanks for your testimony. I think personal testimony in these cases is always a lot better than sort of abstract noodling. One thing that you do mention is that salaries for teachers are low there. The French have made a bargain with themselves, saying that we will accept these sort of low salaries across the board, especially in sort of civil government functions, in exchange for job security, 35-hour work weeks, 6 weeks of vacation, pretty decent health care, and a lot of other things that are provided by the state. In many ways, that can be a very pleasant experience, especially if you're a young person and you know you have things that you need to do. In other ways, it can be a stifling experience. I think is a fair way of putting it. There is in France there are only a few ways to do things. If you want to become a teacher or a journalist or a doctor, you got to go to this school. You better take that test and get that score, and then you'll do things this way. In America, it's much more wide open. If you talk to French expatriates, that's the thing they like about America. It's people don't ask where you graduated from college and what you scored on this particular test. They kind of want to know what you're doing right now and how you got there. And there are thousands and millions of different ways. So it's always very interesting to tease out those relationships. I think definitely part of the reason why France is a very sclerotic country socially and on some levels. There's always huge unemployment for young people. Everyone scrambles for those $1,200 or 1,200 euro teaching jobs because they need to get something. And at the same time, there aren't a lot of other jobs available to people. And I think it's a system of trade-offs. And as I mentioned in my piece, you know, myself and my wife, we have voted with our feet in that we live in this country and not that one.
What's the tax rate in France? Lynette asked off of Twitter.
I think the high rate is at 50 or 52. Maybe they've cut it recently to 48. Sarkozy has been trying to institute those kind of reforms. And again, every time they do, there's kind of a big backlash. But it's usually up at the higher end of the bracket within Europe, which is generally around 50%.
Asheville, North Carolina. Frank on a Republican line.
I know how we can improve health care in the U.S. We should eat less French fries here.
But they're so delicious.
One quick thing. It's almost, I hate to say this, a little laughable that, again, your wife has that health care system but doesn't want to pay for it because she doesn't like the owner's taxes there. I mean, that's very hard to swallow, you have to understand. And you have to also understand that Republicans here don't really respect our government's ability to manage systems from experience. Now, they may be good at managing government over there with, what, 70 million people in France versus 300 million 50. Here with a much more wide demographic and geographical area. It's harder to centralize that. I don't want to be calling Washington, D.C. when I am having a trouble with health care delivery. And you mentioned the Republicans didn't jump on much in terms of helping the whole situation with health care. But let's face it, the Democrats, you mentioned lawsuits as being a problem, and that's their major constituent are the law trial lawyers. And I don't know how you get around that, but here you have a group of people in power with never, ever caps on lawsuits, and that is a major problem in this country, and so it's all on the Republican hands.
Hey, we don't disagree on anything. My wife doesn't complain about the taxes that she pays, especially as it goes towards a thing that she likes, which is that health care. And I don't certainly want us to ape the French system or to have Washington run it. I think you're totally right that in America, specifically, Washington doesn't tend to run things very well. And part of the reason why there is a big health care reform debate right now is because we're talking about Medicare has grown to this sort of huge and unsustainable thing, and it's costing more and more money, and it's delivering less and less returns. My idea about healthcare is has more to do with empowering individuals and decentralizing power from Washington. So I agree with you.
Do the French doctors and the medical system at all, do they put a premium on preventative care rather than...
Yeah. That's actually a problem in France, is because people go to the doctor, you know, every time they sneeze, and they are hyper-medicated. Either France or the U.S. at any given time are on the most pills at any given time. In America, it's because we watch the TV and we see sweaty palm syndrome and like let's try out that pill. In France, the doctor is just throwing pills at you, and people go to the doctor at any given time because they're not really penalized for going. And that's a fundamental problem in sort of socialized healthcare systems, is that there isn't a lot of pressure on you to not you know, sort of abuse the system.
Do the pharmaceuticals come from France itself, or is it imported in from other countries?
A mix. France has a pretty active pharmaceuticals industry, one of the bigger ones in the world that isn't the United States. France and Switzerland, I think, are the two biggest, or among the two biggest in Europe.
Deerfield Beach, Florida, for Matt Welch on our independent line.
Good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I got to take umbrage to your last point about the medical training in France as compared to this country. I know from my own personal experience that the medical training in this country is for health professionals is overburdened and somewhat draconian.
What do you mean training specifically?
There's a lot of bureaucracy. There's a lot of requirements, eligibility requirements. It's just I believe that's the reason why we have a shortage of healthcare workers in this country. And
right.
The price is so high is because the availability is overburdened, and it's, like I said, draconian. And I was wondering, you know, you mentioned that France has the same kind of system, but I believe we are in the same parallel system of training. We need to loosen up our requirements. We need to give more access to people into the training programs. Personally, I know I was filtered out of a training program because of some small minor instances, and I gave up my healthcare training.
I think you raise a great point. I think there's a bit of an apples and oranges thing. What I was talking about, sort of on a broad societal level, there are usually only a couple of ways to become whatever profession that you want to be. In America, you're right. There are this sort of the licensing and the requirements on the professional healthcare industry is appalling. I mean, in California, where my sister-in-law is a nurse, you have to go through all these sort of rigid hoops in order to be an American graduate and qualify yourself for a nursing position. And because there's all these hoops, they say, to hell with it, let's just get a Filipino over here. And so they're just bringing in, importing nurses because they also have these kind of state-mandated nursing ratios to patients. And it's a perverse system in which we absolutely need more healthcare workers, but because they have such a regimented licensing thing, we can't develop them domestically. And you're right, it is asinine.
Reason Magazine, the latest issue is the January 2010 issue, and you can pick it up on newsstands.
Yep.
Matt Welch is the editor-in-chief. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.